from the Cleveland Indians and New York Yankees, Allie Reynolds. Allie, thanks so much for giving us the time to talk to you today.
Glad to be with you.
Could you tell us a little bit about your early days, where you were born, when and where you were born, a little bit about your family and how you were first exposed to baseball?
Well, my first exposure to baseball was late in life. I was a junior in college when I started in on baseball. My father was a minister. We didn't play ball on Sunday, so I didn't play.
So you never played any ball till junior college?
Oh, just a kid, just piddling around.
Okay, and what happened? You went out for the team on your own?
I came down, they were having batting practice, and I was watching them, and Mr. Ibis said, "I understand you can throw pretty hard." And I said, "Oh, fair." And he said, "I'll get you somebody to warm up. Let's throw some batting practice." And I said, "I don't understand warming up. I'll just throw it anyway." So I was trying to make him out. So he suggested I go in and get a suit, and I got started there and made the college team.
Which school was this now?
Oklahoma State University.
Now, this was Hank Iba?
Hank Iba.
He was famous for basketball, too, wasn't he?
He was a famous basketball coach, but he was also the baseball coach at that time.
Oh, really? Okay. And so you made the team immediately, and you were put in as a pitcher.
Well, yes, I did. I played outfield more than I pitched.
Uh-huh. And how did you do?
Pretty well. I hit about 275.
Uh-huh. And how did the pitching come about?
Well, I just gradually worked into that. I did mostly relief work.
Uh-huh. And you were apparently pretty successful.
Well, to a degree, I got around to graduating. I talked to Mr. Ibis. They were trying to get me to play football, and I got a third-round draft choice from the New York Giants to play football, and they sent me a contract for $100 a game. I took it to Mr. Ivan. I said, "A lot of people talk to me about playing professional sports. I don't understand it. Would you help me?" He said, "Sure."
My daughter, Denise.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yes.
So he said, "Send them to me." So I just told him they'd have to work with him. And he called me and said, "I can get you $1,000 to play baseball." I said, "I'm a baseball player." Right there.
That was a quick decision.
That's very quick.
Okay.
That was the largest bonus, I guess, ever given in the Southwest at that time.
Really? So you were sent out to the minor leagues?
I signed with Cleveland.
With the Cleveland organization?
Yes.
You played on their minor league system for
a while? Yes, about 3.5 years.
What level did you start out with?
They wanted to start me in A, but I just told them I needed to start lower than that, so I started in C.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went up to B and then to A, didn't make the team, came back the next year and made it, and then I went from A late.
Was this your first, you were a kid then, was this your first time away from home?
Well, I graduated from college then.
Okay, so you had that experience then.
Mm-hmm. I was 25 and then I went to the majors.
Oh, okay. Now, how about as far as starting and relieving? Were you now strictly a starter?
To start off with, I was a starter, but they used me in relief a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind.
What kind of pitching repertoire did you have back then?
Not too much. I didn't have much of a baseball background.
But you had a fastball?
Well, a pretty good fastball, yes. I remember 1936, I heard somebody say on the radio, "Johnny Mize is up to bat in the World Series." So I asked guys, "What's the World Series?"
You asked, "What's the World Series?"
I didn't know what it was.
Really? Isn't that something? Okay. Now, do you remember what kind of instruction did they try to give you in the minor leagues?
They don't give you any instruction.
They didn't give you any at all. You were on your own. You either got the guys out or you didn't.
You made it on your own or you went to the house.
Okay. Do you remember the day when they told you you had made the major leagues? How did that happen?
Well, I got a notice through the management of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. What was the name of it? Red Baron. So
okay.
I'd been selected to come up and finish the season in Cleveland.
Right.
About 3 weeks, maybe not quite that much.
Mm-hmm. And remember what your first major league game?
Yes. I had to sign a contract, so I went in and General manager said, you got to sign a contract. You sign for the rest of this year. Next year, I'll give you $400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty rambunctious that time. I called him a few names. And I said, if that's all you're going to get to play in the major league, I'll go home. But I was something new to them because they didn't have many college graduates at that time.
Okay.
So I said, first of all, I'm not going to sign for 1 year at a time. He said, I'm going to get you some ball games. And if you don't do well, you may not get that much. I said, if I don't do well and don't get more than that, I'm not staying.
A pretty cocky guy.
Yeah, I thought I could.
Uh-huh.
So I signed for the 400 for the 2.5 weeks or so and went home. Got in a couple of ball games and pitched all shutout innings that I pitched.
What do you remember about your first game?
First full game?
Yeah, first appearance.
Well, I just, somebody else started the game, got behind 2-0, put me in to work, and I pitched till they got it even, and they took me out and put an experienced man in there, and he promptly lost it.
Okay.
Same thing happened the second time.
Uh-huh. So at what point did they make you a starter?
Well, then that was the end of the season.
Then the end of the season.
And I came back to spring training the next year.
Mm-hmm. Who was your manager at Cleveland?
Lou Boudreaux.
Okay. How would you evaluate him as a manager?
Oh, he was a good manager. He knew what he was doing. He's a pretty intelligent fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent ball player.
Now, your pitching knowledge, did you pick that up more or less on your own, or did people beginning to give you instruction at this point?
No instruction still. Just watching people and picking up what they're doing, asking questions, trying to do it on your own.
Yeah, fastball, a curveball.
And later I came with a slider.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, then what happened? How did it come about that you were traded for the Yankees?
Well, I didn't have anything to do with that. I was up in Canada on a barnstorming tour when I heard about it. I'd gone to them and they said, we're not going to trade you or Boudreaux or Feller. So I assumed I was set. So I got up one morning and got to, how's it feel to be a Yankee? I said, I don't know. He said, you're one now. And I thought he just pulled my leg. But evidently it was true. I got it.
How would you compare playing with Cleveland as against playing in New York?
Well,
as far as the crowds and the atmosphere and the whole bit.
Oh, I don't know about the crowds. The player doesn't know much about the crowds. If you're bearing down, you don't even hear the crowd.
Okay.
But the class of competition I got into with the Yankees was a real transition from Cleveland up there. Was all the tradition that they had and the way they approached the game was to me the way it should be.
Which was what?
They wanted to win. They intended to win.
You played to win. Who are your managers of the Yankees?
Bucky Harris.
Okay. Anything to say about him?
Well, he starred me, and we went along there, and I had a 19 and, I believe it was 19 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Had about 2 weeks ago for the series, and they didn't let me pitch anymore because they didn't want me to win 20 games, I guess. I was a little perturbed about it, but there wasn't anything.
They want you to have some salary talk, you think?
That's right.
You worked under Casey also?
Yes.
People say a lot of things about Casey. What kind of relationship did you have with him?
I liked him.
Uh-huh.
But he did a good job evaluating his team players, what their abilities were, and moved them back and forth. Some of them didn't like it because he pinch hit for them and used platooned them, and they didn't like that at all.
People tell a lot of funny stories about Casey. Any particular incident you might remember?
I heard a lot of stories about he's kind of a cut up, but when he, as far as I was concerned, when he was a manager, he wanted to win. There was no doubt about that.
He played to win. Looking back in your career, I know you had some incredible games. Particularly your two no-hitters. Can you highlight a little bit about the first no-hitter, how it progressed, what kind of stuff you had that day, et cetera?
Well, I didn't have anything unusual, just Pitching no hitters a matter of fortune. They're going to hit some balls good off there. You got to be at somebody. And this was against Cleveland and against my old roommate Bob Feller, beating 1-0. Gene Woodding, who had come also from Cleveland, hit a home run.
Right.
That was the score, 1-0. The second one was against Boston. It was a little different type of game. I got a big run, lead to start with, and I ended up getting through that 8-0.
Well, of course, people talk about the last bat he had to face was Ted Williams. Tell us, deep breath, what that was.
Well, I didn't really want to pitch to him anymore if I could help it, but I know it's true. But I walked down to Mondo, so he ended up being the last hitter, hopefully, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I threw him a high fastball up inside, he popped it up, and unfortunately, Yogi dropped it. Only time I ever saw him do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I stepped on him because I could have caught the ball myself, it went so high.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, we got to try him again. So we went back to him. The same pitch was the first time I'd ever thrown him two fastballs in a row.
Same pitch in a row, same location?
Yeah, same location.
Right.
Popped it up again, and Yogi caught that one. And I told him, I said, that was all you're going to get. I was going to take everything from there on because you're creating too much excitement. There's enough excitement.
In general, in your career, what kind of success or lack of success did you have with Williams?
Not too much. I didn't take many chances with him. He had a lot of respect for me. If he didn't hit what I wanted to, I put him on first base.
He said he wouldn't swing on anything outside the strike zone.
Well, he had great discipline.
Yeah.
Really, you could be walking all the time. It looks like he's pitching the heck out of
you. I know. Who besides Williams, two or three more hitters that really impressed you and gave you some problems?
Well, the one that got me over to the Yankees was Joe DiMaggio. Well, certainly he impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Henrich.
Right.
Who later on helped me out a lot. Mm-hmm. The first game in 49.
Mm-hmm. What about pitchers? Which pitchers that you played with or against were you impressed with?
Well, we had two or three pretty good ones right there in New York. It was Rashi and Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Along with myself, we kind of carried the burden of the five pennants in World Series.
If it was ever a must game where you had to win, who would you like to see on the mound?
Well, there's several people could have handled that chore. It's been a good selection.
How about you?
Well, I wouldn't mind trying it. That was a position I was put in a lot of times.
You liked having the ball.
Oh, yeah. I felt better with the ball in my hand than sitting on the bench watching somebody else.
Besides the two no-hitters, any other particular game stand out in your mind?
Yes, first game in the 49 World Series.
Okay.
I pitched against Newcomb. I thought it was probably the finest in the game that I ever pitched mechanically.
Uh-huh.
I was in position to do what I wanted to. I walked several people because they didn't hit what I wanted to hit, and I wasn't backward about putting people on base because that didn't bother me anyway. I had them on there all the time anyway.
That was against the Dodgers, I think.
Yes.
Yes. Any of the Dodger hitters particularly give you more trouble or any pressure?
Well, I think the one probably gave me the most trouble was Pee Wee Reese.
Really?
For the simple reason he could bunt, he'd go both ways, hit the ball where it's pitched, he's difficult to work with. Some big free swingers, but I was able to get by them and a little better luck.
So generally, the pesky little hitters were more of a problem than
the guys that hit the ball where it's pitched are the ones that are difficult to work with.
Right. Okay, now, as all careers, well, let me ask you this. How would you, looking at the game today, how do you think it's different than the way when you played it?
Well, they've dropped the strike zone. I think the biggest thing that I notice from where we used to throw was up around the letters down to the knees. Now it's down to your waist and down to your knees. They've lowered it.
They've lowered the strike zone.
The idea, I guess, in that was to create more runs and more excitement.
Mm-hmm.
They felt like that the ball game was 1-0 or 2-1 was a dull game. I never felt that way. Certainly wasn't dull to the players.
Games were a lot faster then, too, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were dropping the strikes on the pitcher. Has to be so meticulous for the work.
Absolutely.
He has to go 3.5-hour games, I don't think, is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any arm problems?
I had every arm problem anybody I could have.
And what you used to do for homemade remedies or?
Oh, no, I never did have an operation. I was sent to John Hopkins to have an operation, but I didn't have it. The doctor said it'd be out too long. So he had me change my type of treatment. It got all right. And that happened to be the year that I won 17, lost 6, had 7 shutouts and 2 no-hitters.
Really?
For free.
Did you ever pitch in pain or believe in that?
Oh, yes. Any pitcher that works has trouble with his arms sooner or later. Particularly power pitchers, and not that I felt in probably in the power category.
Mm-hmm.
You always had injuries, either your legs or your arms, something's bothering you.
What do you think of all of these new fancy pitches, knuckleballs and split-finger fastballs and things like that?
Well, they're not exactly new. We threw all those pitches. Some of them just threw it a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
The fork ball is what they call it, basically. They used that ever since I remember. But
how many?
It was the older pitcher that used it.
How many days of rest did you usually work with?
Well, I didn't have that resource to work on because I offered to do relief work for them, so they relieve with me and maybe they'd scoot me back and forth, which made it a little difficult because you weren't able to acclimate yourself to a regular diet of 3 days and pitch, 2 days and pitch. Just anytime they needed me to work.
Is it fair to ask you which you like better, starting or relieving?
Well, they wanted to make a reliever out of me, and I told them no. And then Casey wanted to know why. I said, because I can't make the money.
Uh-huh.
At that time, they didn't have this the value on a closer, which is the way they were using me.
Right. Aside from the money, did you like either one better?
Or? Well, sure. It's a lot easier to be a starter and have a regular routine.
Right.
The other
is... Oh, yeah, I know that. Where is he?
Okay, now... all careers must come to an end, as yours did. How did that come about?
I got hurt in a bus accident down in Philadelphia in 1953.
Is that during the season or nothing to do with the young?
Yeah. And,
was that on the team bus?
Yeah.
Did other people get hurt then, too?
Well, nobody as tough as I did.
Uh-huh. What, was it an arm injury?
No, it was a back injury.
Okay.
Then I attempted to play in 54. I really didn't want to play after 53 because it was bothering me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I started again in 54 because we'd had 5 pennants in series, and it's hard to quit that.
Right.
But that was the year Cleveland set a record, which still stands.
Was that 111
games?
Right.
We ended up second.
Right.
And I finished up 13 wins and 4 losses, but I retired after that year. They didn't think I would, but I did.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about what you've been doing since your playing days?
Yes, I went into business, in the drilling fluids business. Went out as an executive vice president, general manager. End of the year, I became president, and in the 3 years, I bought them all out and owned my own company and kept it for 26 years. I still have it, and I still go to work. I'm 75 years old, and I work half a day.
Well, I have to say, you really look good.
Well, I don't have the best health in the world, but I'm getting by, and I'm fortunate every day after.
Well,
you're 70 is a bonus.
You can survive a weekend in New York. I mean, that's an accomplishment.
Well,
so.
I don't cut up much.
Yeah. If you had 2 more questions. If you had to do it all over again, would there be anything you would do differently?
Yes, I think I would probably bear down a little bit more earlier, and I was relying on my ability so hard to try to win the ball game. That's not the correct approach.
You were trying too hard.
No, I said I was trying just to get by on throwing hard.
Oh.
I would change my routine and my way of handling the pitching.
You mean you would try to use a more variety of pitches than just throwing
placement, hard? Placement, change of speeds. Mm-hmm. I just didn't get after it solid enough, quick enough, I didn't think.
Okay. If you could have any advice to give to young kids today who are considering a major league career, what would you say to them?
Well, if you're that interested and you think you have the ability, it's certainly wise to go ahead and try it because there's no place else you can make that kind of money.
Now, you went through a college education. Let's say a youngster had a choice of going to college, getting a scholarship, or just going through the minor leagues. So, what would you say?
I'd suggest going to college because in college you get as much work as you do in professional ball in the minor leagues and get a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting an education because, after all, you've got to look at it the way it is. It's a 4.5-year operation.
Okay.
I was fortunate enough to play for about 12 years, but it doesn't happen to everybody.
Okay.
But it's quite possible to go ahead and get your education even while you're playing.
Okay.
Just like this fellow we're honoring tonight, Dr. Bobby Brown. He had about 3 different professions. Did well in all of them.
Well, the medical doctor, we all know.
Still young, young.
Right, right. Allie, it's really been a pleasure talking to you, and really love watching you play, and I really enjoyed talking to you. I want to wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you. I've been very fortunate already.
Thanks a lot.